Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
Finishing up John chapter 11. And just a very quick recap. So John chapter 11 is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And we took 2 weeks to go through that story up until John 11:45. And it's an amazing story. Lazarus is raised from the dead. He's not the only person that was ever raised from the dead, but in Christ's ministry, it was very important that Christ was able to demonstrate the resurrection of the dead to show people, us in particular, that there is, in fact, a promise of the resurrection and that He has the power to raise us from the dead, just like He had the power to raise Himself from the dead. So when we come to this passage of Scripture, the interesting thing here in John chapter 11, as we get to the end of the chapter, is that there was an awareness in the community of the Jews, the Jewish people, and of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that Jesus did in fact raise Lazarus from the dead, that he was in the tomb 4 days. Martha had said, when Jesus said, "Roll the stone away," he stinks already because he's been dead 4 days. The recognition that decay had already taken place and started in his body. If you've never been in countries where it gets extremely hot, I know down south right now it's extremely hot, but when I was in Africa and ministered in Africa and Botswana, when people passed away, they made every effort to make sure that they were buried quickly because it was 115 degrees and things, decay happens rapidly. And they don't embalm people in those cultures normally. So, and the same thing is true here. They did not embalm Lazarus. And the reason that Jesus waited 4 days to come and raise Lazarus from the dead is because in the Jewish culture and in their thinking process, whether it was actually true or not didn't really matter. They believed that the spirit did not leave a dead person for 3 days. That was normal Jewish culture. They believed that a person could be dead for 3 days and their spirit was still there. Jesus waited to come and raise Lazarus from the dead 4 days to show the proof positive that he had the power of the resurrection. And he said, in the first part of chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And then he demonstrated his power to raise Lazarus from the dead, not because as a man he had the power to do that, as the Son of God himself, as God in the flesh, he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. So when we come to this ending of this chapter, we can read quickly that many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw that he did believe in him, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So that became public knowledge. Even though the Pharisees may not have been at the resurrection itself, they heard that Lazarus was alive. And some believed, And then some went to the Pharisees and told them, hey, you guys need to pay attention here because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the response of the Pharisees is pretty amazing, actually. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, what are we going to do since this man does many signs? If we let him continue in this way, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Were they rejoicing because Lazarus was raised from the dead? No, they were not. Were they honoring Jesus because he had the power to raise someone from the dead? Absolutely not. They'd already determined prior that they wanted to see Jesus dead. They wanted to see him removed. And then here in this passage in John, the statement is made clear. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation. And we need to consider what they're saying in this statement. Were they concerned about the people? No. They were not concerned about the people. Were they concerned about the spiritual health of the people? Absolutely not. Were they concerned that the Romans were damaging, hurting, and controlling the people? No, not at all. What were they concerned about? They were concerned about their own position of authority and leadership within the Jewish culture to be able to continue to rule and continue to control and continue to gain financially from the fact that the Jewish people were there. And it was all because they were under Roman authority. Now, there's a lot more information that I can share about that, but I think that it's important to recognize that Caiaphas, we're going to read that in a moment, Caiaphas, one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. You're not considering that it is to your advantage that one should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish. That was a prophetic statement by Caiaphas. He didn't actually intend to prophesy that Jesus was going to die for the nation, not in the sense that we recognize that Jesus died not only for the nation, but for all the world. He paid the penalty for our sin when he died upon the cross. But here's the story about Caiaphas. I think it's important to recognize. Caiaphas was not a descendant of Aaron. He was not a priest by lineage. He was appointed by Rome and he ruled over the people as high priest between 18 and 36 AD. So there was a time span that he was high priest. But his high priesthood was not to benefit the people. His priesthood was there to appointed by Rome. So now he's a political appointment. He's a political figure to control the people. And his job was not to minister to the people, serve the people, to benefit the people, to give them spiritual direction and guidance. His job was to control the people for Rome, to keep the people in check so that Rome could continue to do what they were doing. They could continue to rule over the people as a nation. It's important for us to recognize all of this because he says it clearly here, then Rome will come and remove both our place and our nation. He was more concerned about what Rome was going to do than he was about the benefit of the people. And you look at the contrast. Jesus claimed, said he was, and proved it, the resurrection and the life. And John wrote this whole gospel for the purpose of declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. Caiaphas' job was to protect Roman interest over the Jewish people, to protect the fact that Rome was in Jerusalem. And there were lots of Roman soldiers in Jerusalem at this time. So what Caiaphas says in this passage is that it is better that one man die for the nation. And John has a statement in here that is very telling. He says, and not only for the nation, this is John speaking, but also to unite the scattered children of God. John, the apostle, recognized that Jesus died to pay the penalty of sin for the entire world, not just for the Jewish people. The Jewish people believed that the Messiah was going to come and free them from Roman dominance, Roman control. But that's not what the plan was ever. It's really not what the plan has ever been. Our political problems in the world are not really what God's concerned about. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that in the world today, there is lots of turmoil, lots of difficulty, lots of wars, lots of places where people are being killed, lots of places where all of these different entities are coming together to clash for control over the people. Most of us, like myself and probably you, have no opportunity to change what's going on in the world today, other than through prayer, other than through seeking God's face. And what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the promise. Christ is going to die and pay the penalty for our sin. And the gospel is more than that, but it's the fact that Jesus came for a purpose. And his purpose was to pay the penalty for our sin, to give us the opportunity to come and to be his children and to be in fellowship with him forever, the promise of eternal life. And he showed that reality in John 11 when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And there's a picture here that we need to recognize. When we come to Christ as Lord and Savior, when we come and ask him to come into our life, we are asking him to make us new. And in a real sense, we are no longer destined for the grave, because that is not the end. We are destined for a relationship with Christ for eternity. So we are given new life when we ask Christ into our life. We are made a child of God at that point. And we become his children because he loves us and cares for us so much. What John says here is interesting too, because he says not only to take care of the children of God through the nation, but also to unite the scattered children of God. So who's he speaking of when he says to unite the scattered children of God? He's speaking of us. He's speaking of Gentiles. He's speaking of people who are not Jewish, who come to understand grace, who accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We are the scattered children of God, who did not know him by being part of the nation, but Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of everybody who would believe. That doesn't mean that someone who doesn't believe in Christ is automatically saved. It doesn't say that at all. Paul makes that very clear in the book of Romans. We have to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to submit our life to him and ask him to come in and take control of our life. We're not automatically children of God. There are lots of people that want to say that we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're not all children of God until we ask Christ to come into our life. Prior to that, we are simply broken, lost, and undone. And without Christ, we will remain that way. So it's exciting to see what is going on right here, even in this passage of Scripture. So Caiaphas makes this announcement. It's important that Jesus die for the nation to protect the nation in its current environment, in its current situation. Rome wasn't going to stay in power over Jerusalem forever. They didn't know that. Caiaphas didn't know that, but he predicted by his statement the very thing that we needed to understand. And I think it's important for us to recognize this as well. 1 Corinthians tells us something that I think that we need to recognize. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Now, on the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus would not have gone to the cross. Jesus would not have died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Now, when it says the rulers of this age, he's not talking simply about Caiaphas and the Jewish leaders. He's talking about Satan, demons, principalities and powers in the air. He's talking about all of the negative demonic forces in the world, which were engaged right here in this passage of Scripture. None of the rulers of this age, if they had known the wisdom of God in this situation, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, why is that important? We think of grace in the context of what's good for us. We're privileged. We experience grace. We see grace every day. We have a house. We have food. We have opportunity to be warm, be clothed, which we consider grace. But the real picture of grace is greater than that. It's greater than what benefits us materially. We received life in Christ because of grace. Have you thought of this? That Jesus went to the cross and died for us because of grace. God's grace to us required the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus went to the cross because of grace. It was God's grace that gave us the opportunity to have eternal life. Yes, we receive eternal life because of grace. Praise God for that. It's an amazing truth. It's an amazing reality. But it wasn't simply that God just said all of a sudden, I'm going to forgive everybody their sins. Scripture tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus shed every drop of his blood on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin. That's grace. God's grace to us came through the death of Christ on the cross. So when Caiaphas makes this announcement that Jesus would die for the nation, John clarifies it and says that not only for the nation, but for all the scattered children of God. Grace was given to us because of what Christ did. It's amazing to me, really, because if the rulers of this age knew that Jesus' death was going to pay the penalty for our sin, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. Satan did not know. Satan thought that when Christ died on the cross, that he had won. He won completely. The Savior is dead. The Messiah is dead. The people are still trapped in their sin. He thought that he had won, but he did not win because Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. He didn't understand that either. He didn't understand the power of the resurrection. He didn't understand the mystery of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, the mystery of the gospel is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. We would not have had the privilege the benefit of God's grace to us if Christ had not died. And at the same time, we would not have understood what it is like to live with the Spirit of God in us to benefit our life, to make us strong in Him and enable us to walk with Him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is an incredible picture because it tells us so much about the reality of our relationship with Christ that we sometimes take for granted. We just assume that this is the way life has been and is and will continue to be. But it boils down to something so real, so dramatic, so powerful. Could I be the man I am today without Jesus in my life? Absolutely not. But that's true of all of us. We cannot be the person we are today if Jesus hadn't died and paid the penalty for our sin, if He had not raised Himself from the dead. He told us in John 10 and that He had the power to lay His life down. He also had the power to take His life up, to raise Himself. Was Jesus afraid to die as the man Christ? Yes. He was concerned. We'll see that in John when we get there. Jesus was definitely human in every sense of the word. He felt our pain. He understands our grief. He understands the loss. He understands what was going to happen to Him. Because He is also 100% God, He understood and knew exactly what would happen when He went to the cross. He understood every hammer blow that drove a nail through His hands and His feet. He understood every thorn that was going to pierce His scalp when they put the crown of thorns on His head. He understood all of the grief, all of the pain, all of the anguish of the crucifixion. And that's why He said in John, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup from Me." And at the same time, He said, "Your will be done." Because He wanted to do what He came to do. Jesus didn't come as a baby in Bethlehem to teach us how to be better people. He came as an infant to live a life, to grow up as a man with the sole intended purpose to teach us and disciple us, yes, but to die and pay the penalty for our sin. That is the purpose. That's why Christ came. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. This is a mystery to me, honestly. It's a mystery to me because I recognize that Jesus had to die to pay the penalty for our sin. But when you read that Jesus is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, there was no world. There were no people. There was no creation as we know it today. There was no opportunity for Eve to be deceived and for Adam to eat the apple or the pomegranate or whatever it was he ate. No opportunity for sin. And yet, the Godhead, 3-in-1, recognized that we would fall. We would be broken. We would need a Savior. And Christ was going to come to be that Savior, even knowing that we were going to sin against Him, deny Him, or as Caiaphas wished that He were dead. And yet He desired our fellowship. Did He need our fellowship? No. He's complete, and He's fine without us. But He wanted our fellowship. So He desired so much for us to come to Him by faith. We're not like the angels. We have a choice, and that choice is real. We can choose Christ, or we can reject Christ. He is the only way. There aren't 2 ways. There aren't 10 ways. There aren't different opportunities to come to God somehow. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Christ paid for us by his blood. His death, perfect Son of God, died to pay the penalty for our sin.
Thank you for spending this time with us as we've looked at the end of John 11. This passage reminds us that no one can frustrate the sovereign plan of God. What sinful men intended for evil, God used to accomplish the greatest act of redemption the world has ever known through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The question each of us must answer is the same one that confronted those who witnessed these events. What will we do with Jesus? As always, we encourage you to check everything through the lens of the Scriptures. Be like the noble Bereans of Paul's day, searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If this message has encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs the hope of the gospel. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. For we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.